السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the day today is the 6th of Rabi'ul Akhir 1446. Let's welcome our guest, and that is Hazrat Mulana Musa Lahiya Sahab Tahmad Barakatuh. Mulana, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana, jazakallahu khairan for having us once again.
Jazakallahu khairan for joining us. It's a surprise visit over the airwaves. Alhamdulillah. I was happy when Brother Suleiman told us. I thought he made a mistake first. I said, are you sure, Mawlana Musa Lahiya? Because normally on a Thursday, Mawlana Musa Akuri comes on. So... Alhamdulillah, we can speak about Mulana's trip to Egypt.
Gee, Alhamdulillah, we got back about, 2 weeks now. And this was the largest group that we ever took. Normally, we don't take such huge groups because logistics, it's not easy to manage, etc. But Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed for everything to fall into place. We took through about 35 people to Cairo. And Alhamdulillah, we arrived safely in Cairo. Just one small little hiccup with customs and immigration there. But Alhamdulillah, that was all part of the test. And we arrived on a Friday morning. So Alhamdulillah, by the time we checked into our hotel and got settled down, we had a bit of a rest, and then we went away for Salatul Jumu'ah. And one thing that we were fortunate to have Hazrat Maulana Dawood Siddiq Sahab Damat Barakatuh with us. So he was always reminding us of different things that, you know, generally people whose spiritual eyes are somewhat blinded, the Akabirin, they tend to notice these things. And I still recall, you know, the sheikh that had performed the Salatul Jumu'ah, mashallah, you know, he was wearing full kurta, topi, everything. But then you look around in the masjid, then there are very, very few people that are dressed in the same manner. So Hazrat was mentioning that, you know, how fortunate are we back in South Africa that our ulama, that our akabirin, they continuously remind us of the importance of dressing in the sunnah method. So it's not something that is an exclusive dress for the ulama or the shuyukh, etc. But it is for everyone to dress in the sunnah manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was something that was a great lesson for us. And of course, you know, you come back home and you tend to appreciate our ulama that, alhamdulillah, making efforts around South Africa to get people closer and closer towards the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we must never forget that. We must never forget that. Otherwise, the time will come when, like in the very old days, you would find people that would be performing their salah with a suit and tie on. So we must stick to the sunnah. We must stick to the sunnah and, you know, the rules and regulations that govern imamate. Those must be adhered to, and they must be strongly emphasized and enforced as well. And that, of course, is a message to all our young ulama and also to the mutawallis that are running masajid, that never ever compromise on the sunnah. Always ensure that the sunnah is upheld. And most importantly, of course, or equally importantly, is that our trousers or our kurta must always be above our ankles. This is something that is slowly but surely being forgotten. People are wearing longer and longer thobes, and we are disregarding the grave warning in that it is makruh tahrimi to perform salah in a manner where your trousers are below your ankles. It's haram for your trousers to be below your ankles, but to perform salah in that manner makes it makruh tahrimi. It's something very, very close to haram. It is not acceptable at all. So we should ensure this here. An imam that are the pesh imam, the senior imam of the masjid, they should ensure that when giving the musalla, you know, sometimes you see one young hafiz al-Quran or something and you want to give them the musalla, but just ensure that these sunnahs and these important aspects are upkept. Nevertheless, Maulana, after Salatul Jumu'ah, that's when the real work started. So we headed off to the distribution center, and alhamdulillah, everything was pre-arranged for us. So we managed to distribute a total of 350 huge hampers. I mean, those hampers, mashallah, they weighed easy, close to 30 kilograms. So it was challenging in the sense that, you know, especially now in the queues, you find a lot of women folk who don't have men folk to assist them. But alhamdulillah, we had young, charismatic, strong, healthy young boys that were helping us. And the spirit was so high. You know, we had four ulama in this group. And every single person not just stood there and gave instruction, but physically carried those boxes. And, you know, that was the sight for sore eyes. That young, old, strong, even weak, like myself, there was an effort that was put together. And it was of great, great thawab, and people understood that, you know what, this is what I need to do to earn reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the cream of the crop was Saturday morning. And Saturday morning, why do I say was that the cream of the crop? Is because we got to visit our newly established madrasa. At the time was only just a month old. It was running into its second month. First month salaries had been paid. The second month salaries were going to be due on Monday or Tuesday. And that is where it really shook the heart of every person that was there. We've named the madrasa, Madrasa Dawood. It is specifically for Ghazan children. And we have 370 students of Deen that come and study Deen. So because our place is a little small, and cannot accommodate 370 learners at one given time, we've split the group into two. So the first day, you'll find all the younger ones. From kindergarten, from your nursery, right up till about grade 4, grade 5, they come in and they do various different subjects. They do Quran, they do tafsir, they do aqaid, they do fiqh. They also do a bit of math. They do English, they do practicals of salah, etc. And alhamdulillah, you know, this was when tears were rolling from the group's eyes, because you get to meet the children. But Maulana, it's something that I want to share with you. You know, during the course of our time there, two incidents took place that were out of our hands. The first was, A glass had fallen. I don't know whether it was the wind that pushed it down or whatever it is, but anyway, it fell, and it fell into the classroom. Fortunately, no one was badly hurt. One child did get a little bit cut, but alhamdulillah, he was treated and stitched up. But the fact that when that glass fell, it made a loud noise. The children, the smaller children, they started screaming. And they started crying. And when I went there and I was inquiring from the ustad and the apas and what is going on, why are the small children crying? And they were saying, no, they thought that a missile had hit the madrasa. Now, you see how this trauma is 6 months. Some of them are 6 months into Egypt, but the trauma still exists. The next day or 2 days later, a similar thing happened where... you know, you take a cold drink bottle and you put it in the freezer and you forget about it. And so they had taken it out, and moments after they took it out, this cold drink bottle burst. And again here, everyone jumped, ran. There were tears that were rolling. People thought that there was a gunshot. And, you know, you have to understand the trauma of these children to appreciate what they are going through. But one thing that the ulama had brought to our attention with regards to the madrasa and the importance of the madrasa is that, you know, subhanAllah, you look at these innocent souls, they're all sitting, they're reading Quran Sharif, they're reading a hadith, they're doing their fiqh. But if we can now handpick the cream of the crop students from this madrasa and bring them over now to South Africa to further their studies and become huffaz and become ulama and become, you know, leaders, they can go back to Egypt. Right? I doubt they'll ever get back into Gaza, but they can come back to Egypt and they can serve their community and an entire revolution can take place. Mm. It's over a year now that these children haven't gone to school, haven't gone to madrasa. But Maulana, when they sit in those classrooms, you know, I sat in many, many of the dars, the English dars I sat in the Quran dars. You can see the excitement of these children. They are so thrilled to be there. And, you know, whilst we were there, alhamdulillah, we did an abaya drive. So we gave out some abayas to the girls. We gave out some kurtas to the boys. Every child received some school bags and what have you. We had taken some puzzles for the younger ones. But it was such a warm environment and such a warm feeling that, subhanAllah, it really touched us. And then we continued again with distribution in the afternoon, 350 hampers again. But the evening, this was what was interesting. We visited a home, Maulana, and this lady, her leg was crushed. The entire calf bone of hers was crushed because of Israeli bullets. So she was shot, and obviously the bone in the calf had probably broken, and there were splinters and what have you, shrapnel and all of that. So her leg was in not a cast, but like an iron cage, right? Orthopedic type of cage or whatever it is. And when we asked her that what had happened, she explained to us that they were staying on the fourth story, the fourth floor of their flat building. And when the Israelis dropped a bomb over their heads, the bomb explosion was so strong that it flung her and her daughter out of that building. So they got catapulted out of that building and they landed somewhere else. With the result, she was also shot. The mother was shot in the leg. And the daughter's leg was completely amputated. Now, you know, you're hearing stories like this here firsthand from people that had experienced it. And I'm looking at this woman and thinking to myself, subhanAllah, how much of...
Yarhamukallah.
Ya hadikumullah. How much of sacrifice, how much of pain... And when she opens her eyes and she sees her daughter laying next to her, her leg is bleeding and what have you, her leg has been completely severed off. And she comes to the hospital and only days later she finds out that her entire family was wiped out with that bomb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that bomb to catapult them out. But this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's miraculous way of allowing them to survive this disaster. Like that, Maulana, there are countless stories from the people of Gaza. I mean, we met a family. It was a wife, a husband, and I think two children. It was two children. But the husband is blind, completely blind. And they've got this small, I mean, this baby is a newborn, you know, probably 2 months, 1 month old. And, you know, part and parcel of the relief that was offered was that they get a voucher to go to the supermarket around the corner from the distribution center to go and buy some personal hygiene items, you know, especially for the women folk. We try and keep their haya and their modesty. We allow them to go and do all of that there. So the mother, the husband remained with us. Because of his disability and being blind, we gave him a chair to sit on. And the mother then just put the baby down on a piece of cardboard and put the child down. And subhanAllah, you know, I might have come about 5 minutes after she had put the baby down and I saw the baby and fell in love with the baby, and I started playing with the baby, and I think the mother took another 20-odd minutes. But that child was so content on a piece of cardboard. You know, I picked the child up eventually, but it was so content on that piece of cardboard. It was blistering hot. Okay, we had a fan there, but subhanAllah, there were absolutely no complaints. And this is the beauty of the people of Gaza, that they don't complain. Maulana, these people of Gaza, when you speak to them, some of them are engineers, some of them are pharmacists, some of them are doctors. They're well-educated people. They were living good lives in Gaza. And now to come to Cairo, a foreign land, and stand in a queue for a hamper, this is something very belittling. Mm. But subhanAllah, subhanAllah, they know in their hearts that there's nowhere else I can go. There's no other aid that has been distributed. So this is the continuous challenge that they are facing. You speak to other people, they'll tell you stories that will cause tears to flow from your eyes. But Maulana, we continued with the project. And part and parcel of the project was also to look at some Sudanese refugees. There's some 250,000 Sudanese refugees that are based in Cairo. And you'll see them everywhere you go. When you're on the street, you'll see them sweeping the floors, doing menial jobs. You know, they're in the hotels, as cleaners, and what have you. And the day that we were distributing, there was a Sudanese woman that was packing soap hampers for us. So one is you've got your grocery hamper, and then you've got your washing powder and your soap and everything. So she was packing this year. And we got talking to her, and subhanAllah, we found out that this woman is a qualified dentist. Mm. Imagine that, Maulana. A qualified dentist, what is she doing? She's a packer, a person who packs groceries or who packs, like such a small job, but so contented, so happy that, Allah has given me some form of risk, some form of sustenance. Allah is assisting me to work, to get a job in a population that is over 30 million. SubhanAllah. So the appreciation is certainly there, but your heart bleeds. And this is what really caught me, Maulana. On the last day, we were coming into the distribution center. We had actually completed our quota of 250 hampers for the Sudanese. So we did 1,000 for Ghazans and 250 for Sudanese. But when the word started going around, the people of Sudan, the Sudanese refugees, they then came to the distribution center and they ended up camping there for 48 hours. They didn't leave. And even though we are telling them that, listen here, forgive us, we don't have any hampers left. Hmm. Our funds are depleted. There's nothing that we can offer you. They still stayed there for 48 hours, Maulana. Hmm. And it's really, really hot. They slept literally in the street, hoping that even if they get something to feed their family. And so as we were coming in, one small little girl, probably about 3 or 4 years old, ran up to me and she gave me a piece of paper and she told me, she pointed to her mother and she said, Mama, Mama. So I opened that piece of paper and what was written on there was, please help us. We are hungry. We have no food. Hmm. And I looked at this and I said, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. I mean, Maulana, you know, when it comes to this type of work, people ask, what is sufficient? You know, you're going on a trip, what is sufficient amount to take? There's never sufficient funds. I mean, the need is beyond us. But we need to understand that you look at this woman who's saying, please help us, we have no food. And then you look at our children, daily procedure for breakfast. Hmm. When the mums make the toast, what the children do? They leave the crust behind. They waste the crust. for those Sudanese children or Ghazan children, that crust that you're leaving behind on the bread or the Nutella bread or the peanut butter bread, whatever it is, that's a meal for them. And we're throwing it away? We are wasting so much. People go to restaurants, subhanAllah, one meal, over R1,000, just one meal. How do we answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? You know, people, especially, you know, on Tuesday when we spoke, Maulana, you asked me what took place on the 7th of October. And I'm sure it happened around the globe. People are ready to go in march and scream on their lungs and free Palestine, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, and all the slogans and what have you. And people have so much of joy. But we're not prepared to let the luxuries of our life go and help the destitute refugees that are suffering. That we're not prepared to do. We're prepared to go and fight. We're prepared to go and scream. We're prepared to go and march. But we're not prepared to give up the wastage in our own homes. How will we answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are we going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is something that you and I, Maulana, we need to be passionate about. We need to continuously remind our children. You know, yesterday, I think it was the day before yesterday, one of the ulama that traveled with us phoned me and he told me, Maulana, you know, I've been so touched with this trip that I need to do more. And I told him, you're an alim. You have the benefit of the minbar. Educate your community. Teach them the lessons that you learned on this trip. The lessons of how important it is that whatever Allah has given us, yes, it's a ni'mat. Use it. No one says you must starve yourself. No one says you shouldn't use those ni'mat. But just don't be extravagant. Don't waste your ni'mat. Don't waste. I mean, people will pour, for instance, a cup of tea, they'll drink half and say, ah, enough you now. But for what? We're throwing away something that is a meal for a child, something that is wholesome for a refugee. That's Maulana, we met Sudanese refugees, I think 30, 35 of them. What work are they doing in Egypt? They are street sweepers. Hmm. They sweep the streets. They go through the garbage just to find whatever remains. You know, you go to the restaurant, people just, you know, whatever's left over, they just throw it away. They throw it away. Subhanallah. So we are going to be accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our actions and for what we are doing. And for that, Maulana, we really, really need to bring a revolution back here in South Africa. If we want to help the people of Palestine, we can help them. Go to Misr. Go to Egypt. There's 100,000 of them. We're only touching 1,000 families, 1,000, 1,200 families. What about the balance of them? There's an opportunity. You know, you can go yourself. And this is what we encourage. Go yourself. You don't have to go under the banner of any organization. Go yourself. Go and do the work yourself. Jump on a plane. Go and buy the groceries yourself. Give it out with your own hands. Give people cash in the hospitals. There are people that are staying there for weeks and weeks and weeks under treatment. And no one is seeing to them. Hmm. Okay, the hospitals, Maulana, must be open. It's not very easy to enter. Alhamdulillah, we've now established ourselves. So we do get entrance. But if any other person goes to the hospital, they're not going to allow you in. So, but what I'm saying is, there's an opportunity of khidmat. Oh, people always say, you know what, I wish I could get involved in some khidmat of deen. Here it is, I'm putting it on your plate. Get involved. There's no excuse. We can do it together. We can help the ummah. I mean, so many of these women are being abused. They are going through challenges. They are going through hardship. You can be a person who can save the haya and the modesty of a Palestinian girl in Cairo because the vultures are there and they are ready to take advantage of them if we are going to sit back and relax.
Mulana, I'm happy you touched on this particular aspect as well on waste. In fact, I was just this morning I was reading an article of the they had a waste, it's a summit 2024, and addressing all of this, the waste, the food waste in South Africa. Just to give one stat that they mentioned, they said 31 million tons of food is produced annually. A third of this is wasted. That means 10 million tons of food is wasted. Nobody is getting that. And the whole complaint in this was that we're living in a country which produces food to feed every single citizen. Yet one third of this food is going and it's being wasted. And as you've mentioned, Mulana, we think that we are not wasting, but that half a cup of tea which we're throwing away, or this, that crumbs, or those, the crust, these are all avenues of wastage. So we can start now. And as well, the message that Mulana, you've given is, one is the to educate. And this is a great thing because if we take it around the world, that this legacy that is Alhamdulillah in South Africa, where we've got all this avenues to the correct information and the correct resources now to share it with the rest of the world, Allah has entrusted us with this now. And to take it, which better people to take it than these people? And to educate them and to get people. Well, I'd just like to know if... as you've mentioned, that many people have come with during this last trip. So, just general, it does, Mulana, does it include, is there a whole, like a particular amount that you pay and you the accommodation is all sorted out? It's part and parcel of that.
Mulana, the rule that we have is that every person who comes on their own expense. So whatever funding that is collected from public and what have you, we spend 100% of that. Anyone that is traveling, they come on their own expense. So your tickets, your accommodation, your food, that is your own baby. Of course, we facilitate it in the sense that, quotations are given, different options of different hotels are given. And food, obviously, is readily available, so people can buy whatever they want there, you know. So that is definitely the rule as far as it's concerned, you know. But alhamdulillah, any person is welcome to come. So.
And last time we spoke, Mulana mentioned that we don't need a visa for it, so it makes life much easier there on that particular aspect.
No, so for South Africans, to enter into Cairo, into Egypt, you don't need a visa. I'm a Zimbabwean citizen. That's where my challenge comes about, you know. But South Africans don't require any visas. It's visa on arrival. So it's very easy, you know. You just jump on a plane and boom, you're there after 8 hours or 7 hours, whatever it is. And you can do your work. There was a brother who actually came in after the group had left just for 3 days. 3 days, you know. He was in transit. And he was going for Umrah. And so our group, or my group rather, had left for Umrah. I couldn't go for Umrah. So I remained in Egypt. And he came down. And alhamdulillah, he was with his family. And we got to do quite a bit of work also. Quite a few home visits we managed. And alhamdulillah, it was just amazing experience.
Mulana, we appreciate your time and for you to share with us these experiences. Kindly make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallahu khairan, Mulana, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, that was Azad Mulana Musa Lehe sharing with us the trip to Egypt. Inshallah, the podcast will be prepared. From us in the team, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.